Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to this review from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
And yeah, like we usually do, and I don't know how to start a Rundown Review, so we'll just hop right into Rundown Reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right, so this is Rundown Reviews.
Yep, we're covering Superman 2.
Yeah.
The theatrical version. We'll do the Donner cut on the next DC one. So in about like a month, 2 months from now, you guys will hear that one. But yeah, we did Superman from 1980.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah.
Nostalgic. Yeah.
Very nostalgic. Because I mean... You tell the story of how you watched it.
This one, Superman 1 and 2, I had on VHS when I was a kid, and I literally watched them until they were almost complete fuzz across the screens.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing left of those VHSs when I was done with them.
Yeah, I definitely watched it a lot. I don't think I watched it as much as you, like, to where the VHS tape was run down, but I do remember watching all the time. I think I also... I feel like they tended to show this on like the Friday night or Saturday night movie on ABC all the time.
They used to do it on TNT a lot.
Okay, well, I didn't have cable.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like I saw it on regular.
Oh, I'm sure.
TV all the time. Yeah, this one. It is the whole cast is returning. You know, we got Christopher Reeve as Superman, Clark. We've got Margot Kidder as Lois Lane, Perry, Jimmy, Lex Luthor, Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor. They all return. Ned Beatty as Otis.
For the 8 seconds he was in the film.
Yeah, for the couple minutes. I can't remember.
Testmacher's name?
Yeah, that Eve Testmacher, she returns for a little bit. Her name is Valerie Perrin. Jack Cooper as Perry White. Where's Jimmy at? Mark McClure as Jimmy. We got all of them return. We even have Susanna York return as Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, however you want to say it. We also get the return of Zod and Ursa and Non, Terrence Stamp, Sarah Douglas, and Jack O'Halloran, respectively.
Yeah, looks good to me.
They were in the first one for a split second there at the beginning when the over on Krypton, and then we get them back here again. We actually see what made them criminals.
Yeah,
they we see them break into whatever facility and
get in prison,
snap a guy's neck, and
because it was a setup.
Definitely seemed that way, didn't it? I totally forgot about that part.
Yeah,
watching it.
Actually, that was a robot, wasn't it? That they snapped his neck.
Okay,
it said robot noises.
It looked like Cobra Commander, only in all white and a Superman belt. But yeah, like they get they do a crime and
then they pay time.
They get put in the Phantom Zone. Like, their trial wasn't even all of 3 seconds.
Hey, they were all guilty, though.
Guilty.
They chose down. Oh.
And then, like, before, like, that starts the cold open. Then we go into the credits, and we get...
Which we get the entire Superman 1 movie, except so in synopsis form.
So, yeah, if you didn't happen to see the first one, you literally get it just in the credits alone, so... Good for them.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Which is also why the movie was, 2.5 hours long or whatever.
It was only 2 hours long, but that's it. Did it kind of drag for
it
you?
It seemed like it was really long this time around, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't, well, it's been a long time since I've seen this movie.
I haven't watched this since the kids were little. So.
Okay, so I cannot remember the last time I've seen this. It has to have been on DVD.
Yeah.
Because I got the DVDs that have, like, the snap clothes on the side. I mean, I got the Blu-rays now, but like that's that's the last time I remember watching it. And that was early 2000s?
Probably 2005, somewhere
around there. Something like that?
No, it would be like 2007 for me. Because I watched it when Simon was old enough to watch it.
So. Okay. So it's been over a decade for both of us.
Yeah.
So it will definitely be interesting to watch this and then watch the Donner cut in a month or two.
See how much difference there is.
Yeah, there's from what I was finding in the trivia. I mean, that's what they call it. Yeah, on IMDb, there is a few different, like the main differences in the beginning. The Donner cut does not have the terrorist act in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Superman goes and takes some nuclear bomb and missile and throws it in space, and that's what does it. I'm pretty sure I've seen the Donner cut.
Yeah, I have, because that's what I watched with the kids.
Okay, I don't remember it. So it's been a long time for that one. Probably because on DVD I had the theatrical cut.
Yeah.
And this movie was.
It was not nearly up to the par of the first one.
Yeah, like it was, again.
It was still fun nostalgic to watch, is it was there. Very nostalgic.
But why don't we go ahead and get into it? Is there any scenes that stuck out to you? Like anything that made you think that either impressed you or like questioned?
Okay, so there's one part that I was really disappointed in, which I liked as a kid, but as an adult, it was very disappointing for me because it's definitely not Superman-esque.
Okay.
And that would be at the end when he goes back to beat up the guy in the bar, like because he had bruised ego.
Yeah.
That's not something that Superman would do.
It's not.
Now, maybe letting the dude punch him in the gut and hurting his hand, sure.
But then, you know, making a fool out of him on the stool, then putting him on the diner.
And throwing him across the counter. Yeah.
That you're correct there. Yeah. Superman, even in the comics, and even in the first movie, the Donner one, the first original one, even when he wasn't in an area, he could hear. Mm-hmm. And it was prevalent that he heard.
Yep.
And the entire time in this movie, when he's in the North Pole in the Fortress of Solitude with Lois, he was hearing other things,
let me tell you.
He definitely was. But he didn't hear a thing with Zod.
With all the explosions and, you know, them destroying everything and taking over. And that's even before
he gives up his powers.
Yeah.
So,
selective hearing.
Well, and in the comics, he always has the ear out, regardless, for Lois, for Ma and Paul Kent, like those three in particular. And then, like, he expands it a little bit. Like, he gives Jimmy a signal watch, because he can't always be there for Jimmy. But he always keeps tabs on those three. From time to time, there will be moments where he's not listening. Like, I know in, what was it, mid-2000s, when they actually did the story of Jonathan dying, and he actually does die, he was there. I can't remember if he was there on the farm when it happened. And because he's there, he's like, oh, I don't have to worry because I'm here. I can see. But he gets there too late, regardless. I know in a few different, like New 52 comics, his parents die. Jonathan and Martha dies when Clark is at like the prom or something. Like they had dropped him off at the prom and he was too busy focused there, and they get in a car accident and die, and so he loses his parents that way. But then you fast forward to there was some, not retcon, but at some point in time they fix it and Superman is able to get there before his parents die. It's a whole thing. So he always has a...
Wasn't that Smallville?
He goes back in time to save Lana from being killed in a car accident, and that's when his dad dies.
Oh, yeah. Totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Which, allegedly... Well, that's fine. there's a rumor going around. Not rumor, but both Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum. Michael Rosenbaum is kind of heading it, but they're trying to get HBO Max to do, like, an animated Smallville season 10 or 11 or
11 would have been the next one.
But then they had the comics though too, so which they call like seasons 11 and 12.
Oh, I don't
know. I don't know if they're gonna connect those or if it's gonna be its own thing. But they're trying to get something, you know, off, start something.
Gotcha.
Don't know if anything's gonna come about it. I would love to see it come about it. Like, as much as season 6 on were a problem.
What is it with shows and like that?
I don't know. Well, because like Supernatural
could have stopped season 5 and I would have
loved well, it. And the original, it was supposed to stop at season 5 because the original writer, creator, all that stuff, they're like, yeah, I had 5 seasons. I told my story. But WB's like, we want money. And they got 10 more seasons. I mean, it got a following.
Yeah.
And it,
I
stopped after season 10. I'll go back and watch them.
But I watched 6, 7, and 8. I started watching 9 and I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to see what else I can watch.
That's on. How I was with 6, 7, 8 for a while. And not, well, really, all of them.
It took me months to start watching season 6.
That's fine.
And then I started watching it and I'm like, eh, it's all right. And then like,
I took a break and came back. Yeah. Same. No, same. Because I think it was season 7 for me when Dean went to hell and then came back and they had like the whole vampire hell thing.
Yeah. Something.
Whatever. It was all weird. Yeah. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Superman.
Yes.
Lois figures out
that Clark is Superman because she sees him without his glasses on.
And then she starts to put pieces together. She's and like, then
wait, when Superman's here, Clark's not. And when Clark's here, Superman's not.
And I love the way she really tries. It's like, you know what? You're going to save me, Clark. And jumps off the bridge into the water.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I think I joked about it. It's like, I'm just going to let you drown because you know my secret.
Let's talk also about the new and improved powers of Superman.
Okay.
He gets telekinesis.
He doesn't have telekinesis.
That's not true because he stops their telekinesis with his own and then bounces it back at them.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I must have blinked at that part.
he gets teleportation. And then he gets the ability to do mind wipes.
Okay, so I can actually answer that one. That was actually in the comics.
The mind wipe thing?
The amnesia kiss.
Really?
Yep. Action Comics 306.
Amnesia kiss.
It's
hopefully you don't do that by accident.
Obviously something that doesn't happen very often. Well, I mean, let's see.
Or at least we don't think so. We don't know because nobody knows.
That is fair. It was printed in 1963. So it, I mean, if you're trying to write a script and you're trying to come up with something new and improved for the movie, amnesia kiss makes sense for the time. I remember watching this when I was younger and be like, oh, that's a weird power. Didn't think he could do that.
Yeah.
It's a lesser known power that he has.
No. He made her forget a couple days with a kiss.
Yes.
So he could really like fuck her brain.
Again, when they did have sex, it was after he lost his powers.
So it wasn't with a kryptonite condom.
Correct.
He totally blows blood right
through. So the teleportation thing was interesting because the Zod and Nan and Ursa, they come to Earth and they all have these powers. They master their powers pretty quickly. Except for Nan. Nan took some time. But they mastered those powers stupid quickly.
Yeah.
Which was very interesting. But then the teleportation thing, and I didn't look this one up, but that's definitely a new power.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, it's very possible that that was an, like a 40s, 50s, 60s power that they just had. Why not? Especially in the 50s and 60s, there are comics where they're like, well, we need to tell a story. Superman's got this power now. Why not? The one power I will not forgive is the cellophane S that he throws on Nan.
Oh, yeah. What the hell is that?
No idea. No idea at all. But, I mean, it's...
Okay, apparently he got some kind of electric powers that made him teleport at some point in time.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. He just kind of went through the power line. That happened in the late 90s? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Because it's Superman Blue. I got those issues. Those are great. I actually did like those ones.
Tactile telekinesis. An attempt was made to explain Superman's ability to fly with large objects through the introduction of tactile telekinesis. The objects that Superman touched were enveloped by an invisible telekinetic field that allowed him to move them with the force of his will.
That kind of explains the Superboy power that he gets then. Because in 93, during Death of Superman, they clone Superman, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We get Superboy, and he's got tactile telekinesis. So
Superman had it, just didn't know he had it, see? They just thought again, he was really
post-crisis,
really strong.
Yeah. they streamline everything.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have all these janky, wanky powers.
So you're telling me he can't do the amnesia kiss anymore?
It hasn't been... I haven't seen it in comics myself, and I've read practically everything post-crisis.
Maybe he kissed you and you just don't remember.
I kissed Superman.
Oh, let's talk about the child abuse victim again.
Different child.
Are we
maybe,
sure?
Hopefully.
Are we sure?
Well, yeah, because it was a girl last time.
Oh, that's right.
I did like this this kid, though. They're at the
kid's
the
got
Niagara
some balls,
Falls.
Let's just say that.
Fuck yeah, dude. Like,
I went to Niagara Falls as a young man. Well, as a kid, I was probably like 10 or 11. And yeah, there's no way in hell I would have been hanging off the side of it.
I was a teenager. I knew better when I went. But, like, yeah, he's climbing on the railing
to
Niagara Falls.
Mom, I need your attention. Mom, you're neglectful. Mom.
Now, that mom was definitely neglectful.
Yeah. What? Oh, I was looking at your pillow.
My pillows. It gets me up, so I'm not leaning back.
Oh, yeah. Are you trying to tell me something?
No, I'm just doing this because I podcast more than you. Yeah, and so the mom sees him as he's climbing up the first time. And pulls him down.
And then beats him with her purse.
Yeah. And then he does it again because she's a really great mom and pays attention to what
she's
doing.
She was really busy talking to maybe his dad or maybe just some random guy.
I'm pretty sure it was his dad. They were trying to figure out what was going on.
And eating cotton candy, and she didn't have time for him.
Yeah,
sure, kid. You're doing great. All right, yeah.
Yeah, because he is sitting there now. He's playing, like, I've done this.
Oh, yeah.
Railings.
Yeah.
On the playground.
Yeah, when you're like,
you're
six
leaning down and just kind of like switching hands, grabbing.
Yeah.
And of course, Niagara Falls, so it's going to be a little wet and a little slippery. And he slips and falls.
And then he turns into a dummy.
That was pretty good.
That was great.
Hold on.
The whole way down.
Okay, so let's rank the dummies now. Because this is like third dummy, right?
Yeah.
We need to start doing that. Fuck. Okay, we got a dummy ranking.
Hold on. That's got to go in the... That's going to be added to the bingo also.
I don't think we could add it to the bingo. Well, we could.
Well, I guess it wouldn't work for the newer movies. It's only the older ones.
Yeah, that's all CGI for that.
Yeah.
So, let's on this, we've got three dummies right now. We've got Superman the Mole Man.
Yes.
Mole Man. And that one was the Mole Man dummy, correct?
Well, it was a toy, wasn't it, that they, like, dropped or something? Oh, no, we're talking about the one that fell off the... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that one was a dummy that fell.
Yep.
We've got the Captain America... Two, Death Too Soon dummy.
Yeah.
Toy. But it's a dummy.
Yeah.
And then we got this kid dummy. Out of the three, I think the kid dummy was the best one.
Oh, absolutely.
Mole Man was definitely the worst.
The toy one might have been worse,
you think
actually.
So? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because at least in the 50s, they had the excuse that it was the 50s.
Fair. Fair. Now, the toy was so far away, though. Also at a dam.
Yeah. I want to make a movie where, like, all the action sequences are just done with, like, random little, like, wind-up toys and shit. It'd be fantastic.
I'm pretty sure they've already done that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay, so let's go ahead and go... Let's talk about Zod and Nan and Ursa. These three, they don't really... I mean, they're always together. They don't show them apart.
Yeah. Nan can't function by himself.
Nan is...
pretty sure that without somebody around him, he would probably just sit somewhere and light things on fire with his eyes.
Well, probably. make campfires for the kids.
So I have to say, when I first saw the scene of him trying to practice his, you know, vision with that kid standing there, when I first saw that as a kid, I thought he was trying to cook the chickens.
Honestly, I thought he was, because it's been forever since I've seen it. I thought he was trying to as well.
And right when it happened, I was like, oh, I remember this part because I thought he was cooking chickens.
But Nod's a fun little guy. He's just little guy, big guy, yeah. Giant guy.
I think that
pretty cool.
I think that Nod probably, like I said earlier, probably would have not been a bad guy if he wouldn't have been around Zod and Ursa.
I think, yeah, he's literally just a follower.
I really think that they misnamed them though, because Ursa means bear, and like Nod looks more like a bear than Ursa does. Anyways,
it's the 70s. Yeah. Well, yeah, because they named them in the 70s. Because Ursa and Nod didn't show up in the comics until 90s, maybe 2000s. I don't remember. Damn. Like they were new characters to the show.
They were added in to the comics after the kids that grew up watching the movies got into the or started writing the comics.
Basically, honestly, yeah. Like that's really the what's the trajectory of all of them. Like yeah. You watch these movies growing up, and then you'll follow that path into the comics or into the movies themselves. Look at J.J. Abrams. He was, I believe he studied under Donner, as far as I remember. Is that right?
I don't know.
I'm totally misspeaking here, so I may cut that. Probably won't.
Edits. We don't do edits on rundowns.
Actually,
yeah, you do a lot of editing.
I do a lot of editing. But no, there is some people in the business who got there and they were able to study under certain people. So they were kind of like molded, helped along the way, which is why we have WB the way it is now. So I've talked to you a lot about how WB fucked over Zack Snyder with the Justice League. This was the first one that WB was giving too many notes on and stepping in when they shouldn't have, which is why we got the Donner cut in 2006. Well, also, Margot Kidder was on a interview, like talk show or something, and revealed that there was a lot of footage that wasn't in the film.
And then everybody's like, we need that footage. That
Donner made, and they're like, well, hold on, let's get that. Well, we want that. Can we have that? And that was in 2004. 2 years later, we got Donner cut.
Seems to be a bit of a pattern.
Huh. You know, it's... Yeah, yeah. I will give credit, though. People were... 3.5 years it took to get the Snyder cut of Justice League released. And the Zemo dancing cut from Falcon and Winter Soldier. It took all of 4 hours. maybe 24 hours. Yeah, because in the one episode, and I didn't talk about this on Falcon and Winter Soldier, when they're in the dance club and he's dancing, that's like a split, like all of, I don't know, 5 seconds of dancing. There's actually a 50-second video of that got put out. Because once Daniel Burrell said, hey, we filmed a lot more of that scene, and the internet's like, release the Zemo cut. And Disney's like, okay.
Sure, we just cut it out for time's sake. I don't care.
Yeah, literally. Somebody put that on a loop for an hour, so you can watch all of that Zemo dancing for an hour if you really wanted to.
But why would you want to?
I mean, it's fun.
Sure, for like 30 seconds to an...
It's like the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the one watch through. You got anything else?
So I've got the cops abusing their power, which ends up getting them abused, which was hilarious. Lois friend zoning Clark,
hardcore,
before she finds out he's Superman, and then once she finds out he's Superman, she's like, "Oh, I want the dick."
Yeah, I'm a little like
disgusted by her.
By that.
Yeah,
because I mean it was obvious she was attracted to Superman from the first one.
Yeah,
and she wouldn't give Clark the time of day.
Correct,
but. That's typical behavior of any, you know, like jock or any kind of like popular kid in school.
Yeah, you're right.
It's
oh she was an ugly girl, but now she's the cute girl.
That was the whole point of she's all that.
Yeah.
Like, it's the ugly girl that we're going to make hot, and then now everybody wants her. Like, that bugged me.
Yeah.
That bugged me a lot.
But that bugs me in every kind of movie that it's in, because it's like...
But, yes, but I'm just saying, it's a problem that you would think, well, now that we kind of resolve it a little bit, although you see anything on the CW, and it's all just, you know, beautiful people pretending to be 18... Riverdale.
Wait, they aren't 18.
Now I'll give them credit. At least they all look like they're younger versus like 90210 when they were 30 trying to be 18, and you could tell they were 30.
I also have notes on how horrible the French police are, because Lois was able to trick him into looking in an English to French dictionary.
Yeah, like, what's the word for stairs? Stairs. As he's looking, she runs to the stairs.
And
like,
then
you would know that, dude.
And then also, I'd like to talk about how awesome of a hot air balloon pilot Mrs. Tessmacher is.
Yes. Yes.
Like, that was amazing how she got them all the way to the North Pole.
Well, she got them, I think, just outside of the Arctic area, because then they were able to get parkas and clothing.
Yeah.
And then a snow blower on the way. Snow blower. they took a snow blower all the way.
They made
there.
A path all the way to the fucking Fortress of Solitude, those assholes.
It's a lot of gas they needed.
Let's see, what else do I have marked down here?
Yeah, because I've got great security
to
the police. I got like the power thing.
Clark getting his ass handed to him. And then apparently that's when he gets in the fight in the diner.
Mm-hmm.
With
the first time.
Yeah. And then apparently he still has super stamina and the Superman super inner heat, because he's able to walk all the way to the North Pole. Now walk, mind you.
Yeah, because he wasn't getting rides.
Yeah.
And we never did see how
Lois got back.
So the point of the movie, as soon as Lois figures out that Clark is Superman,
he
takes her to the North Pole,
and then he
tries to wine and dine her, and then...
He successfully wine and dines her.
Well, yes, but not until he takes his own powers away.
That's because he didn't want to blow out her back. You watch Mallrats.
Exactly. So, they never showed how they got back, because he flew them there.
Yeah. Well, just in case I ever got rid of my powers, I kept this snowmobile here.
That's, yeah.
He walks through the Arctic all the way to the North Pole in nothing but jeans and a light jacket.
Yeah.
And it's not even a good light jacket, because it stops like 4 inches away from his arms.
70s, 80s clothing, man.
Yeah. And then, the mad product placement in their fight.
Yes. And I did read in a fun fact that Marlboro man.
Those one cigarettes that have the cowboy sponsor.
Where is it? Hold on.
I don't know.
Shut up. Here we go. There was an anti-smoking campaigners opposed the film as the largest...
Lois smokes?
Well, as the largest sponsor was the cigarette brand Marlboro. I can't say
Marlboro. Marlboro.
Two R's, speech impediment. What are you going to do?
You have a speech impediment?
You didn't know that?
Huh.
Yeah. I took speech classes back in like when I was 10.
Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, I knew you had a lisp, but I didn't know like...
Yeah, it's because... Yeah. I mean, it's still there sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Usually it was just when we're trying hard words.
Which is, for whatever reason, half the damn podcast. Let's see, so Marlboro, who paid $43,000 for the brand to be shown 22 times in the film. Lois was shown as a chain smoker in the film, although she never smoked in the comic book. A prop, including a truck sign written with the logo, although actual vehicles of tobacco distribution were unmarked for security reasons. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because they don't want you to knock... That same thing with, like... beer trucks and stuff, like they'll have some of them that are have the logo on the side of them and stuff, but most of those don't actually have the beers and stuff.
Just a white van or white U-Haul thing. That makes sense.
because they're afraid people are going to knock them over.
Because yeah, I mean, they're not wrong.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays with the price of everything just keeps going up.
That's how the beginning of Beverly Hills Cop started. You know, stole the cigarettes. They were Lucky Strikes, though.
Dude, I haven't seen Beverly Hills Cop in forever. I don't remember that.
Oh, God. We were talking about it the other day at work, I think. And anyways.
Now you're good. There's a couple. I'll just go on a couple of these. For August 1st, 1981, a television spot for this film was the first commercial that ever aired on MTV.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, 81.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
So
that was like basically just when MTV had started, so mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Apparently, Eve Tessmacher disappears from the storyline after they leave the Fortress of Solitude,
mm-hmm.
And her absence is never explained. This is due to Valerie Perrine's scenes being filmed by Richard Donner, who was fired from the sequel before completion. Oh, here we go. Yeah. The original script, The Nuclear Missile from Superman, releases Zod and companies from the Phantom Zone. This scene was added to Superman 2, the Donner cut, and the scene in Paris was deleted. So, yeah. Oh, so you got the scene there at the end where Lois punches Ursa
mm-hmm.
and knocks her down to kill her. Apparently, Margot Kidder accidentally punched Sarah Douglas and knocked her unconscious.
That's horribly funny.
Yeah.
How do you accidentally hit somebody?
Well, I mean, they tried to
make it look realistic.
To make it look real, so they get as close to the face as possible. And if you're not spaced far enough apart... Yeah.
But why would you throw a punch that hard?
I don't know.
I mean, I could make it look like I was going to punch you in the face as hard as I could. I could still just brush your beard with my, knuckles.
Yeah.
Any other interesting...
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things in here, but... Oh, the scene where Zod, Ursa, and Nan use their super breath to create a storm in Metropolis
mm-hmm.
was shot over three freezing November nights in Pinewood Studios in England.
To get the actual wind.
So Richard Lester improvised most of the jokes. Lester is the director.
Mm-hmm.
Took over after Donner was out. And that makes sense because after it's all done and Zod sees Superman flying off, he says something like, oh, he's fleeing or he's a coward. And you actually see his breath. I don't know if he caught that or not. IMDb, they've got a lot of long ones, so I'm just not gonna
TLDR
talk about a lot of them. That being said, like it was fine.
It was a fun movie. It's a fun movie. It's like I said, it's nostalgic.
Nostalgia alone will give it a lot of points.
Speaking of points. We do have a bingo on this
one. Go ahead and read them off.
So we had the origin, because they redid it for the whole beginning of it. We had the identity revealed to Lois when he trips and falls into the fire and his hand doesn't get hurt, even mm-hmm. though he tries to hide it in his jacket. Like, that's going to...
Well, it's interesting, too, because he tried to reveal his identity in the first movie.
Yeah.
And then quickly stopped.
Yeah.
So I don't know what changed now. Although Lois does say...
He was horny, yeah.
Maybe. Well, actually, no, definitely, because the entire time he's... Like saying, hey, so we're on this honeymoon.
We got this bed here. Yeah. And,
anyway.
But we have rejecting his powers. Dead parents, of course. Because.
I wouldn't count that one. Only because he never actually brought them up.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah, his mom and dad died with the whole planet.
But he didn't say it. Well, I guess he did show it, though.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Fine.
Dead parents. Product placement.
Lots of that.
Love triangle with self.
Yep.
And then the hero kills people.
Yep.
Because
he killed
Zod.
Zod.
Yep.
Yeah, Lois killed Ursa.
Yeah. I mean, we expect that out of Lois, though. She's a hard bitch.
I did... Actually, one of the...
Apparently, she really knocks people out.
Ooh. One of the facts that I saw, the trivia... was they had to add that the original script called for Superman to punch Ursa, but
Christopher Reeves wouldn't do it.
No, I don't think it was that. I think they were afraid it was going to go look bad. a man hitting the woman. So that's why they wrote in Lois doing it.
Gotcha.
Which makes more sense, I guess. But
I'm an equal opportunity villain.
Sure. Beater. But this time, like, I'm on board with Lois doing it because at this time, Ursa didn't have any powers.
That's true. And so Lois literally did one at that point in time.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah, you just want to go ahead and get into the ratings, I guess?
Yeah.
There's not
really much else to cover. I mean,
it's a nostalgic movie. Almost everybody has seen this, or seen this at one point in time.
Or seen somebody making fun of it, or, you know.
Yes. It's a movie that everybody knows and loves. We'll see how much we love it.
Okay, so I was trying to look back to see what I gave the original one, because I'm pretty
first
sure
one
it was
nine.
Pretty high.
You gave the first one
a nine.
I gave it an 8.
That sounds about right. Joey's got all the numbers written down.
I do, actually. So do you, but
I skipped a page in here, son of a bitch. I wasted a whole page. Yep. All right. So obviously this one wasn't as good as the first one. For nostalgia purposes, I'm giving it a 6.5. I know that seems a little bit low. But like I said, there's some points in it that are really disappointing watching them as an adult.
The jokes, like that whole scene in Metropolis when they're having this windstorm, it was all play for laughs.
Yeah.
Everything that's going on is just jokey. Like the guy who gets blown over in the phone booth and is laughing the entire time. Yeah.
Still talking on the phone,
exactly.
The phone's still there.
I also had some problems with all the winds blowing around and only certain vehicles were
flying,
thrown about.
Yeah.
And then like certain people were being flown about. Like it. Yes.
Yeah.
And
it's not even just that. It's just like, I don't know about in the comics if Superman ever gave away his powers, but I could.
There's been times where there's been taken away,
but he never willfully gave them.
I can't recall one. There may have been, but I can't
see,
recall
that didn't
one.
See the way Superman would never do something so selfish.
Yes,
and that was like watching it as a kid. I was like, oh, you know, this is cool. You know, he did this, but then you know he gets him back. Watching it as an adult, I just don't, especially. After the first, you know, the way that they've got him set up in this, he would never have done something that selfish. Because every time somebody would have needed help that he couldn't help them after he gave away his powers would literally kill Superman.
Weigh him
inside.
Down, yeah. And you're right. Like, the entire time he was with Lois, he was being selfish. He didn't care what was going on around him. And gave up, instead of trying to play off like, oh, I have to go down to get the ice. Or, like, he literally walked away to get the hot dogs, and the kid fell. He rushes off, comes Superman, saves the kid, comes back, and then comes back with hot dogs. Oh, what happened? I don't know.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that one. Totally agree with you on that one.
And that's like I said, that's my biggest problem. And then, like I said, this, yeah, telekinesis and teleportation and stuff.
Those are weird.
Yeah.
I mean, now, again, you're right. As a kid,
it was cool.
It's great. No. I'm right there with you. I was going to give it a 7, but 6.5 is actually, I think, a better score.
Hey, this is really a difficult one to average out.
6.50, I think.
You want to get out your calculator?
I might have to. It's, all in all, it's still a great movie. And the way I always do it, the way I rate these, every movie starts at a 5 for me. Every movie is middle of,
yes,
of the road.
I agree.
And then depending on it, you'll get the plus or minus. This has got nostalgia, which took it up to a 7.
Well
took it up
took
to like
higher.
A
yeah.
9. But then all of the bad problems.
Yep.
I still, and I told you, I felt like the scene with Zod, that first fight was, I thought that was during the day, but I'm pretty sure I may have been confusing that with Man of Steel.
I think you were.
It's quite possible. Maybe the Donner Cut will have something different. I don't know. Because I know not everybody was able to come back for reshoots after. Because I know Christopher Reeve was almost not going to be able to come back. Because at the time of this, they did reshoots for this. He was in the middle of filming Somewhere in Time with Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. I can't remember her name.
Jane Seymour.
There you go. Which I love.
My dad was in love with her, so I mean.
Dude, I love that. That movie, that's a great movie.
Never seen it.
Oh, it's a wonderful movie.
What's it called?
Somewhere in Time. Wonderful, wonderful movie. So yeah, that's, you know, 6.5. It's what we got. Let's see, where does that put it on our scale? Where are my notes at? Here we go.
Wait. Let's see. Just behind Danger Diabolic is what it looks like.
Really?
Danger Diabolic was a 6.73.
All right. So that makes it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Movie number 8. Is that right? Yeah. Yes. Movie number 8. That's... Am I missing something here?
14 movies.
Right. Yeah, because that's right.
Yeah, because we only have 6 that are lower than it.
Well, because Death Too Soon was movie number 13. This is the 14. But yeah, that's 8 overall so far. That's not bad. Like, I don't know. Would I watch this over Barbarella? Yeah, I'd probably watch this over Barbarella.
I don't know. It just depends, I guess. Definitely there are certain scenes of Barbarella that I would watch over this. But as a whole movie, no. I would not watch Barbarella over this.
But I definitely would watch this over The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, but that got extra... It was only a five.
It was a 5.
Yeah. I definitely watch it over Superman versus the Mole Men.
Well, yeah. Danger Diabolic. Oh, no. I would actually probably watch Batman the Movie over this, though. But that's more for just fun.
Okay, yeah, like, fair enough.
I'd put it on just for fun. This one, I mean, it's not bad. It's right, like I said, right behind Danger Diabolic.
I think I'd rather stab myself. 1.5
behind Tales from the Crypt. Yeah. So,
I think I'd rather stab myself in the arm before I'd watch Captain America 2 again.
I mean, so far it's our lowest, and I don't see anything in the near future getting that low. So.
Well, there are still some more Captain America movies from the 90s, though.
Well, we got that one.
Yeah, so, I mean,
I'm pretty sure it will be down below a 5. We'll see. We'll get there. So thank you guys for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Our music was done by Cam from the Sex Turtles, and he's also part of the Wreck My Podcast. If you want to leave a review, that will help us, you know, help people find the show. You can do that over on Apple Podcast or on whatever podcatcher you use, and then just let us know. And if you leave a review, we will read it on the show. We have shirts over at Redbubble and TeePublic. The links are in the show notes. And I think that is everything. Our next movie is Vault of Horrors from 1973.
Yeah.
Should be fun. Yeah. I mean, it's literally just going to be another Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm totally fine with that.
The first one was pretty damn good.
Exactly. Yeah. So we will catch you guys next time.
See ya.